This is Jason Block here on Spectrum1.net with a WLTI extra, and this one's going to be a fun one because right now in 2018, sort of 2019, we are in the era of what we call the Trivia Cash Game or the Trivia App, with such names as HQ, Cash Show, Confetti, and others making the scene. But this particular company that I'm talking about was probably there a little before them and actually could be considered one of the best ones. That company is based out of New York City, and that company is called Fleetwood. And I am on the line with the head of Trivia to discuss the era of Trivia apps and where it's gone and where it's been. He's also appeared on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire this season. His name is Brett Laser. How are you, Brett?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Yeah, appreciate it. So first of all, Fleetwood was here before any of all these trivia apps exploded, weren't there?
Yeah, Fleetwood was around since 2017, maybe late 2016. So we were already up and running and had all of our races and quizzes out there and getting played just as HQ was starting to come on the scene.
Now, it's okay, we can mention the other names without getting beat up or anything like that, right?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
You know, I think Fleetwood in a vacuum.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying you can't necessarily. So why do you think, I mean, because now Fleetwood was first and then all of a sudden all these apps exploded. What do you think Fleetwood has made enough of a presence to have stood out beyond all these apps per se?
I think it will. I think HQ and Cash Show and Confetti, the sort of the live streaming games really opened up the field or the space with a pretty novel and interesting model for providing quiz games to people. I think Fleetwit is sort of, we're working on something that is 24/7 and offers a lot more variety and options. So I think Fleetwit is well positioned to sort of assume the mantle of a lot of these other trivia apps. Our user base is constantly growing. The number of questions we have is constantly growing. And so while I'd like to think that we're leading right now, I know that we're, right now we're really focused on making the best product we can. And I'm pretty sure that in the coming months, Fleetwood will sort of ascend to a place of greater prominence.
Okay. So, full disclosure, I have looked at and played a lot of these trivia apps, and a lot of them are some good, some are bad. As part of Head of Trivia, do you actually look at or download all these apps to see what the other, what the competition is doing?
I have played a couple of different apps. Of course, I've played HQ. I tried my hand at Cash Show. I think I played Confetti once. There's another one out there called Prove It that is sort of similar to Fleetwit, but kind of, if you don't mind my saying so, I think a little bit of a diminished version of it. So, you know, I've tried that out. But, you know,
it's okay. You can, you know, strut your stuff all the time. But
in answer to your question, that is part of my job description, or purview at least, is just keeping an eye on what other people are doing with trivia apps. So I have played them, and they all have their good and bad points.
Which you're going to get to in a little bit. But as head of trivia, what is your job at Fleetwood?
So it's actually, it's evolved, certainly, since I've been here. At first, I was actually writing a lot of trivia questions, and now it's kind of gone to a place where we have dedicated trivia writers, and so I manage them, and I look at numbers from our data person and see what our most popular categories are, and figure out how to improve them and get more questions in them. I work on partnerships with other trivia companies or game shows, things like that. Work on new game types and game ideas. So it's a little bit more strategy and management, sort of overseeing the large ship of trivia that we put out on the app. So it's actually a pretty varied, for day to day, the responsibilities vary pretty much. Although the one types of questions that I still do write pretty much exclusively are the genius questions, which are visual riddles. So I haven't been able to give up writing those because I really enjoy it.
Okay. So in an earlier conversation you had, actually let me let we had, but I'll go back to that in a second. You said that you had looked at all the trivia apps and you said there are good points and bad points. As someone who has played them and has involved in a group with a lot of complaints about them, what do you think are the biggest faults and or challenges live trivia apps have, and what do you think are the best points they have? Because I have a few things that I think are there, but I want to hear what you have to say.
All right, yeah, sure. And I conversely will be very interested to hear some of your thoughts on them because it's certainly a lively and common topic of conversation around our office. It's something we're always thinking about. And so when you say live trivia apps, are you thinking the HQ cash stow style
Yes,
hosted?
yeah, exactly, right.
The thing that I love about them is that it's this absolutely novel way of having a trivia game show. It's not even a game show. It's not an app, and it's not a TV show. It's a really a new amalgam of all of these different pre-existing forms. So that is something that's just thrilling to watch the development of this new approach to media. And games and game shows. Although I think in some cases trivia is kind of the byproduct of it, or trivia is
It's sort of the collateral damage of the actual app, if you really want to call it that.
exactly the thing that's fun and exciting about it is the venue or the idea of how this content is disseminated, and trivia is just the content that happens to be on there. It could be a different type of game or a different type of content or a different type of competition that could take place through the live hosted streaming on your smartphone platform, right? The platform is what's new and interesting, and trivia is just kind of it seems for a lot of the apps, trivia is there as filler, as something to disseminate through this novel and exciting platform. So that is kind of my general knock on the live trivia apps. And I think it shows in the questions. A lot of the questions are fun, but oftentimes as I'm playing, I see the quality of the questions wearing thin, or it has a very kind of simple progression, much in the way that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has a pretty standard progression from the first two or three questions are so easy that they're a joke, and then the middle questions are fun and interesting and challenging, and the late questions are pure guesswork, and they're trying to trick you so that they can lop off large chunks of the contenders. It's funny, and I credit HQ for turning this idea of like the savage question, for
Right.
turning that into a positive,
The Savage Question song, so to speak.
exactly. He's got the savage question song. They've got the animation and the graphic, and it's fun.
Right,
You're sort of
right, right.
waiting to when that savage question comes out, but really, that's a smart business decision for them. They have to have those savage questions so you don't have 50,000 winners at the end of the game.
Yes, but there is where the rub comes in. A lot of people I know have been booted off of these trivia apps for quote unquote connectivity issues when it is legit, when it is a what considered a culling of the app per se, just kicked off for the sake of being kicked off, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. It's happened to me. I've been playing where, and sometimes it's because I've switched over from Wi-Fi to 4G at an inopportune point in the game. And sometimes it's for no other reason than it just, yeah, it's a random connectivity issue. I don't, fortunately, it's never happened to me where I'm between question 11 and 12 and, I'm zeroing in on a payday. It's usually right at somewhere in the beginning or the middle of the game. I personally don't tend to mind that much, but I can understand how it can be a bummer.
Yes, and now another one is the fact that some trivia apps have accused multiple winners of quote unquote cheating for no reason.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that. What, and I'm not sure what they would consider to be cheating. Well, so that's it's funny because that's the other challenge that all trivia apps face is that you can, any good trivia question, you can go on Google and you can find the answer pretty quickly for most trivia questions.
But are you
And
just,
so
well, can you Google and play the app in 10 seconds? I mean, well, because there's also been this sort of new thing where people play on these audio servers like Discord to help, you know.
is that, I'm not sure what that is.
It's a record, it's a, you know.
It records
No, no,
it
no,
sort
no,
of
no.
what it.
It's an audio conference room where people who are playing at this apps at the same time. This is something you may not know. People, the people, there's it's a Discord. It's called Discord. And people join the room and they play the app at the same time to help each other win.
I mean, we do that in the office sometimes. We'll all sign on to HQ and there'll be three of us, three or five of us. And, if I know the answer, I'll let everybody know, oh, it's the third one, it's the third one.
Yeah, it's
Vice versa.
same basic idea. Same basic idea.
I don't consider that to be cheating, from my perspective. And honestly, in a sense, Googling the answer isn't really cheating either. It's not ke in keeping with the spirit of trivia, but if you can Google it in 10 seconds and still enter your answer incorrectly, then I guess you've figured out how to game the system.
But okay, so, and also there is a prevalence of bots on a lot of trivia apps to the point where there were a couple of times when, for example, HQ had a winner-take-all game and it was shown that these apps were, I mean, that apps were used to game the system. I don't know if you've seen that on Reddit or other places like
No, I
that.
haven't. I'll have to check that out. But you
Okay.
see, and I think that's what I mean by when I say that trivia is, or as you say, it's collateral, or it's an afterthought for these apps because they're not thinking about, is somebody gonna create a bot and Google it, and how do I create questions that you can't Google, or how do I is Googling even a problem for us? They're interested in the platform and the way the platform works, and so then all of a sudden, I think they found themselves in this trivia world, perhaps unwittingly.
So, and also the last major thing is that a lot of apps won't pay. You win, but you won't pay, well, you won't get paid. You've heard of the grayed out phenomenon, I'm assuming, or not?
No, I haven't. I guess maybe I haven't won enough on HQ to
Ha ha! There you go.
cash out. I think my balance is like $20 or something, but I
My
haven't.
balance is 88 cents, just to let you know. But no, I mean, but I have won on the other on certain other apps. But you said trivia is collateral damage in a lot of these apps, or I said this, or sort of an afterthought. Why do you think, say, your company makes trivia not an afterthought, and in that sense?
Because we started as a trivia app, and we wanted to provide a platform for people to play trivia, as opposed to provide an innovative platform for people to play a game. We said we want to find a way for people to play trivia against each other and win real money. And so trivia has always been, we sort of built the platform around the idea of providing a great trivia game, as opposed to building a trivia game to fill a great idea for platform. Does that distinction
Yes,
follow?
it does, because at least to me, the trivia should be the star, not the sort of the background cameo, if you understand what I mean.
Exactly. And so that's the approach we've always had. And so that's why we have a dedicated trivia writing team, and we're always thinking about the new categories that we can add. And we have all of these different live races that we write and do different types of things like lightning rounds and genius questions and puzzles that are coming up. We're trying to be innovative in the types of questions and the content that we provide, and we're constantly going back and editing and refining our extant questions. When I play the app and I see a question and there's even a misplaced comma, it gets to me, and that's why I'm here, is to be a stickler for the quality of our trivia questions.
Now, you asked me this question when we talked last week, before
Sure.
the, you know, before the
Yeah.
interview. What to you makes a good trivia question?
That's a great question. It's partially why I ask it to you. So first of all, I think there are a lot of different types of trivia questions. My personal favorite are bar trivia questions, the sort of long, rambling, perhaps editorializing, humorous questions that can flesh out a situation or a context and then ask for an answer, providing just enough clues for you to be able to figure it out, providing multiple points of entry that you kind of have to work on as a team. I love bar trivia.
Do you still play? Do you play during the week?
I do, not every week, not as much as I'd like, but definitely, probably about once a month, maybe I'll get together with some buddies of mine. We have a group that we go with, and that to me is so much fun because you're listening to the question and one person picks up on one of the hints and the other person picks up on the other hint and you discuss it, and at the end you're able to arrive at a correct answer. And I think that's why I love that's why I always say that trivia is a team sport, because
And of course, alcohol and fried food are involved, which is always good.
Oh yeah, that's definitely just added bonus,
Bonus, yes. Yeah, so bar trivia questions are good.
But then, there's fun, like we do these lightning round questions, like name the author from works, and you're just trying to, it says, it says the exemplary novels in Don Quixote, and you go Cervantes, or it says Love's Labour's Lost and A Winter's Tale, and you go Shakespeare. And so that's sort of a quick recall. And that's fun too, because it's a kind of a speed challenge for your brain. And it you kind of put your recall into overdrive as you really quickly try to plumb or remember, you know, where you've seen something before on a list of the 100 greatest novels of all time, or, oh, I read this in high school, or, oh, I've been meaning to read this, or whatever. So, you know, those are fun too. But I think, and so the qualities that make a great bar trivia question are not the same qualities that make a great quick lightning round type question or multiple choice question, you know, an open-ended answer question. You have to write very differently than a multiple choice question. A multiple choice question, a lot of times you can vary the four answer choices or three answer choices or five answer choices in order to make the question easier or more difficult. I love multiple choice questions where the question is actually in the answers. A writer once submitted this question to me, which was, if someone asked you to shake your tail feather, which part of your body are they asking you to move? Your patella, B, your mandible, C, your coccyx, or D, your cranium.
Actually, it would be more E, your gluteus maximus, but closest would be this coccyx that I
yes,
think.
Exactly. So, you know, yes, your gluteus maximus as well, but, you know, in this case, these are all sort of bones. And so everybody knows what shake your tail feather means, but then the actual challenge of the question is in knowing knowing that your mandible is your jawbone, your patella is your kneecap, and things like that. So the question is actually in the answers themselves. But I've sort of been burying the lead here, which is that my number one thing that I think makes a good trivia question is that you should be able to figure it out even if you don't know it. If you don't exactly know the answer off the top of your head, there should be enough clues in the question that you can at least mount a reasonable guess. And you can sort of work your way there either by eliminating answer choices or picking up on a hint in the question that is not necessarily just a plain matching of a fact, right? Is that there's solve this riddle. Which ancient statue that measures 73 meters long and 20 meters high was carved from a single piece of limestone?
That's a little harsh, but I would say the Colossus of Rhodes just off the top of my head.
Well, if you don't... Well, first of all, longer than it is high, so it's... the Colossus of Rhodes was taller than it was long. But if you know something, so you might not know that the Great Sphinx was carved out of limestone.
Oh, okay. That meant,
but,
duh.
It's a cat person.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So like the riddle of the Sphinx. And so there's like a little clue there in the question.
Okay.
And the other thing about that question is that, the answer should always be something that's recognizable. So as opposed to saying the Great Sphinx was carved out of what type of stone, it's like, oh, I don't know, and I don't really care. But you say, oh, what statue was carved out of limestone? Let me think about famous statues. Oh, the Sphinx, I've heard of that. So the obscure clues or the obscure facts should be in the question. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of... when you hear the answer, it's like, oh, that's something recognizable that everybody's heard of.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of magic power, at least for now.
Okay.
If you could fix the trivia app problem, in other words, how you see a lot of what the problems in the apps are, how would you fix them? And I know this is sort of free advice to the competition, but in your observations, how would you improve the trivia app community as a whole?
That's a good question. And honestly, it's something that I haven't really spent a ton of time thinking about, partially because, and it gets back to this central theme that where that Fleetwood's actually trying to do something a little different. And so,
Which we're going to get to next, but just.
yeah, exactly. And so it's that the I sort of take HQ or Casho at face value, and I don't think about, oh, how can you make HQ better? Because I think it's different than a quality trivia game.
All right, then if you haven't thought about that, then let me ask you about this. As you said, Fleetwood was out before this. How are you and how is Fleetwood going to get better?
That's a multi-point initiative, and we're at this point we are closing in on releasing a new update for our app, which is going to have a lot of improvements. And
Is there
so
going to be an Android version? Because I don't see it yet being on Android, or is it?
we don't have one yet, but it is in the works. We have
Okay,
Android
good.
developers; they are coding the app as we speak.
Okay.
And so, first of all, we're always adding new questions. That's number one, always adding new questions. So there's always new content, fresh content for people to play. We're always adding new categories. We've got something like 175 categories, and we're always releasing new categories every week. So no matter what your thing is, we've got it on Fleetwit. And that's a major difference between HQ, Casho. HQ is it's 12 general trivia questions. Sometimes it's sports, sometimes they do a Harry Potter here, an office there, or a music or a tech, but we really bring the variety. So if you're not a general trivia person or a Jeopardy watcher, but you've seen every episode of The Simpsons, then you can come play our Simpsons trivia. Or you're a big basketball fan, so we've got college basketball and we've got NBA basketball and all kinds of good stuff there. So that's one way we're improving. And so in addition to adding new questions, we're going to be adding a lot more live races. And so we
I know you don't want to give.
yeah.
I know you don't want to give out all the secrets of 2019. I understand
Well,
that.
no, I'm just thinking of how to explain it. So we have trivia categories that you can play anytime. You can log on whenever you want, and you can play head to head in our trivia categories. And then we have our live races where, it's a live race that starts at noon or it starts at 2:30 in the afternoon, and they're large multiplayer, several hundred, several thousand people playing at once, and the prize pools tend to be bigger. But it start, you have to be on your phone, just like HQ or something. You have to be on your phone when the race starts, and that's when you see the questions. They're not live read like in HQ, but you're on the page, and it says, "All right, race starting," and it serves you the questions, and then the scores come out after you finish the questions. And one exciting thing that we're doing is we are having scaling a prize structure. So basically, right now we have a set prize pool. So there might be $500 in prizes for a given race. But with the new update, as more people join, the prize pool will grow. So if you're playing against 20 other people, you'll play for some money. But if you're playing against 2,000 other people, then the top prize will be 10 times larger.
Okay, and I have to, I'm just saying it's also very interesting, as sort of we wrap up a little bit, to get people like Ken Jennings and Alex Jacob and others to actually sign on to this is quite interesting because you had a couple of celebrity endorsements.
Absolutely. And again, I think that's the main differentiator. Ken Jennings plays on our app every day. Alex Jacob plays on our app all the time. Raj Dualia, other top quizzers. Mark Labette from the UK
Met him,
played.
nice guy, nice guy.
I actually have not had the pleasure, but hope to at some point soon. I was over there a couple months ago, but we didn't get to meet up. In any case, so top quizzers play on our app because they know that we focus on the questions. And so that's why I think Fleetwit is positioning itself to more toward the trivia community, or has thus far positioned itself facing towards the trivia community. And people who are serious about trivia recognize that Fleetwit is where they can go to get the highest quality trivia experience. And so what we're trying to do now is expand and bring that message to other people and let people know, hey, you play HQ and you like playing trivia questions? Well, come to a place where we care about the trivia questions, where that's our number one priority.
All right, Brett, this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. But again, so how can people actually play? I know there's two places you can play.
You can play on the web, and you can play on the app. Go to the App Store, the Apple App Store, and download Fleetwit, or go to fleetwit.com, FLEETWIT, Fleetwit.
Yes, and of course, as someone who has actually played and won, there are free races, but you can buy credits, I believe, to play certain races, as well.
Yep,
So,
we have free races every day at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Various different categories, a lot of general trivia stuff, a lot of movies and TV and sports and that kind of stuff. Every day at 2:30, and then we have live races also every day at 9:30 p.m. And those are all they're it's like one credit, which is 25 cents. So those are lower cost entry. And then yeah, you can buy credits and. Most of our races are priced at 50 cents or a dollar, but if you're game for a little more, you can play for $5, $10, $20, something like that. So it's really it provides a lot of flexibility for the user.
Brad, it's been an absolute pleasure, and
Thanks so much for having me.
continued success. This has been the WLTI Extra with the head of trivia at Fleetwit.com, Brett Laser. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. Have a good one.